Going back to my days in seminary, I developed a bit of a personal Ash Wednesday tradition. I'll listen to a song called I'll Rise by an artist named Ben Harper. And the lyrics to this song are pulled by the poem Still I Rise by Maya Angelou. And I'll try to listen to it a few times throughout the day and meditate on those lyrics and on the song as I go throughout my day. Here are some of the key stanzas. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like the dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Because I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room? Just like moons and like suns, like the certainty of tides. Just like hope springing high, I'll rise. Did you want to see me broken, bowed head and lowered eyes? Shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries? Does my haughtiness offend you? Don't you take it awful hard. Because I laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness. But still, like the dust, I'll rise. Up from the shacks of history's shame, up from a past rooted in pain, I'll rise, I'll rise, I'll rise. I listen to this song every year not because the music is beautiful, although it is. I don't listen to it either because the words are powerful or inspirational, although they are. I listen every year to have God keep instructing me through those words and through the song what the phrase that's so associated with Ash Wednesday, from dust you are to dust you will return, really and truly means. Obviously, this phrase reminds us of our mortality. It humbles us before God and it encourages us to try to make the most of the time that we do have in this life in a meaningful way. However, I don't know that the ways that these words most bring meaning to our lives are the things that come most to our minds often in this season. I know many of us can have times where we hear these words about being dust and feel like it's just one more thing piling on us in a world that often makes us feel undignified or worthless. And this is something that many of us have to deal with more than others, often unfairly. I also know that many of us can be tempted to hear this phrase and be ready to feel proud about our relationship with God during this season. And then we use the humbling message as a way that we can try to bring down those that we're sure need some humbling. Or even worse, try to keep down people that we don't want to rise. And this too, this temptation is something that some of us experience more often than others, often unfairly. I've had moments in my life where I've been pulled between both problematic poles. And then God speaks to me in Ben Harper singing those words of Maya Angelou about how I and all of you and all the world around us are really and truly dust. I am continuing to learn how dust is really ultimately about context and connections. Dust finds its full meaning in context and connections. We're not dust because we're temporary. We are dust because at the root of our identity at creation, God breathed into dust and connected us fundamentally to God's self as God's image, connected us fundamentally to each other as coming from the same substance, and connected us fundamentally to the rest of creation. It's God's good gift for us to have harmonious responsibility for. In those connections, in that context, dust is everything. But Angelou's words also remind me of the context that we live in, when those connections can be broken and corrupted. That if I am dust and will return to dust, I must therefore be a part of God working to restore those true intended connections. What a powerful image of context is in that first stanza of the poem. A foot trying to stomp out a child of holy dust right into the ground. I have to admit, it would be disingenuous for me to read these words as specifically inspirational, because I'm fortunate enough that I have not had the experience of having to be trod down into the dirt, of being treated in a dehumanizing way that way, like many people have. But I can be instructed about how this dehumanization continues to happen, that tries to treat people as insignificant like dirt. That happens in our fallen world, and I must not ignore that. And even more so, I must look for ways, even if I really don't want to, I try as hard as I can not to be a part of this, but that there may be ways that I, in fact, am trotting like a foot in the impact that my life has on other people. And yet, as God likely knew at that very first breath, the fallen foot does not have the final word. The dust is made to rise because people's dignity is unassailable, even if we aren't always able to honor that in each other. Even if we do dirty ourselves with dehumanizing words and actions towards others, where we try to treat them as only dust, and we try to posture ourselves as something more than what God created us to be. Jesus did not talk a lot about dust. In fact, Jesus' words don't even directly inform most of our traditions around Ash Wednesday. Though us preparing ourselves for Jesus' miraculous rise over the attempts of people in earthly power to trample him down, to push him into the dust, to keep him under their foot, courses through the meaning of this holiday. One of the few places that Jesus did talk about dust was when he sent his disciples out to minister to towns around them on their own, without Jesus. He told his followers that if the town did not accept the help and blessing that they were trying to offer, the good that they were doing, that then they should go and shake the dirt of the town even off of their sandals as they left, to show that none of that division and resistance would hold them back or burden them. And again, this is a powerful lesson rooted in connections and context. It is true that when we miss the true intended meaning of our dustness, when we get those connections wrong, there is muck and mire that we can be stuck in. We can act as if we are tramping things down that are beneath us, but when we misunderstand the power of dust, we are really getting ourselves stuck in our own dehumanization, because we aren't honoring the holy dust that others and we are. And even if we try to move forward, we'll be trudging in grime of indignity and taking it along with us, because we're not honoring the dignity of others. A grime that is bad for us and others, and will need eventually to just be washed off. Trying to dishonor the holy dust of others and pretend that we can transcend the holy dust that God has made us, when we do that because we think it's easier to be a foot, that ultimately just hinders us, just like Jesus warned the disciples when they sent them out. And then we're not able to actually get on with the work of living and serving and being creative and helpful in God's fully beautiful world. We can try to have things exactly our own way, but then we'll get bogged down in the muck of bitter selfishness. Or we can live freely in God's love and join with our fellow resilient dust rising all around us in honoring dignity where it's denied, in blessing beauty where it is disparaged, in giving accountability to injustice where it is stamping, and in reconciling all people with their true identities as dust, fully and beautifully connected to and interdependent with our Creator, our fellow dust, and the world that we move about in. And the pictures that Brian read earlier today about some very dust-like other things, mustard seeds, very tiny, yeast, these dust-like things that Jesus taught about, those parables root us once more in connection and context and the power that God can do when moving in those right connections and context. Things that are, in fact, small and humble, mustard seeds, yeast, dust, a person who can be made to feel insignificant. Things that are small and humble accept what they are and the true blessing that is inherent within it, and accept dependence to work with God, accept connection with other small and humble things. And then from there, something bigger and more beautiful than anyone could have anticipated or imagined is made possible in ways that are fulfilling and life-giving to those who are the dust and those that the dust connects with. Today, that is the context and the connection that I hope that we can learn from as we understand our true dustness, as we connect with the foundation that God started us with, that we would be able to recognize the true ways that we are dust. The holy ways that we are dust, not the ways that make us feel tromped down. Because then we can rise. Just like dust, we cannot get stuck in the mire of pretending that we or others are something different than what God made us to be. And ultimately, God will move in us to make a world that all can find a home in, like the mustard plant. Have a life that all can be fulfilled by, like the bread risen with the yeast. And so, as you go forward with this Ash Wednesday, remembering the true identity of dust that you are, and knowing that God breathes in you, and that to dust you will return, completing the connection, may you operate fully in that holy dustness, find God connecting with you and making all of those right connections around you, restoring them where they are broken, joining them where there's not yet that opportunity, but that God will be working. May you go with that power of being dust, with God's breath, making all of those connections that God knows and will enable you to make. Go in grace and peace.